This is Pastor Leon Frost, and it is my privilege today to introduce to you my pastor, Reverend I.H. Terry. Brother Terry was not my father or relative, but it seems we were as close as father and son. My relationship with Brother Terry started when I was 4 years old. My family moved back to Bakersfield in 1949. Our church was on 34th Street in those days, and it was there that I received the Holy Ghost in 1953. I preached my first message in 1958, so you can see that my relationship with Brother Terry lasted a long time. Brother Terry started guiding me into the ministry while I was still very young. I have great respect for him and what he taught me. I attribute to him my spiritual and doctrinal foundation. Brother Terry's approach to teaching the truth was unique, to say the least. You were always able to understand his illustrations. He would often use people to illustrate a point. I was used on many occasions to read for him as he would preach many of his classic messages. He solved church problems by preaching the problems. Many were the times that we would hear the problem before we even knew there was a problem. Brother Terry was able to put the Word of God in our hearts so strong that even today his words are remembered. Brother Terry's personality, as unique as it was, played a big part in helping shape his ministry. He very seldom went out to eat with saints or even preachers. He was quick to discipline as well as to forgive. Here are some of the quotes I remember Brother Terry using often. "Eat it, saints," was one of his classic statements when others were preaching. This was to say, eat the Word of God. "Quench not the Spirit." This meant to worship the Lord. "The end is not yet," which he would often say in reference to something that was not yet over or the end had not been complete. He'd often quote this phrase, "As good increases, there are increases that eat them." This meant more money, the more bills you have. He also quoted his father often, "If I ever forgot that I was a kid, I would sure make it hard on you." Paul's reference to the doctrine was often quoted with these words, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established." Brother Terry made the statement one time to a college, Bible college president that put out preachers, and he said, "You put out preachers like Henry Ford put out cars on the assembly line," that he himself put out preachers like Rolls Royce, hand polished. He sent out 40 preachers in 40 years of ministry. His ability to develop strong men is evident with the churches that are in existence today from his ministry. The effects of his ministry are still very evident in our church today. The doctrine was the basis of his entire ministry. We are still a strong separation and doctrinally based church. It is with a great amount of honor and pleasure I introduce to you Brother Terry. This is our 65th anniversary as a church. I have been so honored to have pastored this church for the last 25 years. Which way to turn or go? I still trust you, Lord. So let me hold to your hand.
Gracious God, and we bow our heads. We want to thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, and your generosity to us. Forgive us of all our transgressions. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Past time, I'm glad to see all of you. I don't remember you, but I saw you, in a sense, when you were still tied to your mother's Naval Corps. I might have married your father and mother together. In those years, you know, a lot of things pass. A little girl grows up, she falls in love. First thing you know, they're married. First thing you know, you see little signs that it's going to be a family. Next thing you know, you have a child. And the next thing you know, it's the sweetest baby that ever was, so Grandma told me. and the prettiest, and then everything goes well till they hit the, what you call the teenage, and I call that Babylon, which means confusion. They run into a lot of confusion, and you did too, and you filled it. But by the help and grace of God, we're going to pull through that. Pentecost has really not changed much since I was in it. Once I came to the Lord, I started in 38, but I was baptized in Jesus' name February 12, 1939. Brother Frost, you've done a wonderful job. Change is great. I'm glad that my old friends are here. Some of them are already gone. Won't be long possible till I meet them. And I trust in that new body. And my brother Frost, I always wished that people would let me introduce myself. I've never been the man that some people think I am. Everybody give me your mind. Everybody happy? Happy. We do not wear pantsuits. Our ladies. We do not have TV. We do not believe in TV. As you keep on, Brother Jerry, you're going to hit all the spirits in here in a little bit. It'll be a battle in the... All right, if we leave the standard, come to church with this idea, I'm not going to touch you, you're not going to touch me, blessed be nothing. None of the time you ever preach anything that's truth, if you have many with you, everybody's not going to accept it. In fact, what you did, you stepped on their toes. They did not like what you said. But the Bible said, my words, they are spirit and their life. Anytime a man gets a hold of this word and he handles it right, and the liberty comes, how can they hear without a preacher, and how can they preach except they be sent? So it's very, very important that you follow a preacher that rightly divides this word and teaches you, and it ought to be written on your heart what it is. Give me your mind. God is in tune with joy, peace, and righteousness. That's what he's in tune with. If you worship him that way, we are acceptable in our worship. And that joy, peace, and righteousness is the kingdom of God, and it's got to be in you, and it's no more than the Holy Ghost. And I don't want to speak light of it when I say no more than the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. All right, now. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. All the battles that you and I are going to have in this world is flesh and spirit. Now, that is the right spirit. You can never overcome the flesh with the wrong spirit. You've got to have God in you to mortify the deeds of the body. To crucify the old man, you've got to have God. And all the people said amen. And out of your heart comes evil thoughts. Murders. Lots of people are being murdered today. That's in people's heart first. It comes out from the heart. Read on.
Adultery.
Fornication. Theft.
False witness.
Blasphemy.
These are the things which defile you.
I tell you, everybody in this house, if they had their wish, would like to be undefiled, wouldn't we? Wouldn't you like to feel like there is no devil attacking me, that I am absolutely clean in garment, ready for the rapture every minute of my life? Well, it all depends on what's in that heart. And what comes out of that heart is the wickedness that's in the man.
Now the work of the flesh are manifest, are brought to light. This is what gets in the heart of a man. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, and lasciviousness. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, violence, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, and heresies. Envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. The which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now what's in our heart? What do we possess in here? If we are full of the Spirit, we'll have joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, and that is acceptable to God. Joy, peace, and righteousness. The other thing that I've just cataloged here, or that was cataloged there in Matthew, cataloged here in Galatians, are definite things to tell you if this rules in your heart, you belong or that belongs to the devil, and the bad thing about it, it defiles your beautiful garment. And everybody wants a white robe. Lord, put a white robe around me. I like that song, don't you? I want that robe. Well, clean that heart out. How can you get a clean heart, get full of the Holy Ghost? And you'll have joy, peace, and righteousness. And a dirty heart, righteousness does not exist there. And all the people said, amen. What we've got to do is clean up our heart. And the only way you'll clean up this heart is be full of the Holy Ghost. And not being full of the Holy Ghost, you have dirt in your heart, and your heart, out of the heart, is what defiles you, if you can be defiled. You cannot defile a man with joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. He is not, you can hang anything on him. If that man has got joy, peace, and righteousness in him, you are not going to defile him. He is acceptable to God. What this preaching is supposed to do is supposed to work on our hearts through our ears to put us into a righteous standing with God, which is the kingdom of God in us, peace, joy, and righteousness. You say, Brother Terry, have we got there yet? You might have, but if you're not careful, you'll slip tomorrow. So you've got to jump right back into it, or you'll be right back in the old state. You cannot entertain wickedness in your heart. You may be overtaken in a fault. But if you lay, my friend, or if you fall away, you are a goner. You need to get rid of everything in you wicked the moment you recognize it there. Start scrapping. Start fighting. Start warring. Warring what? The flesh. I do not know a lot about Greek. I do not know a lot about Hebrew. But I do have sense enough to take what this says. Matthew 1:23 said, Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, you can make it anybody you want to. But the scriptures will stand when heaven and earth shall pass away. But his word shall abide forever. That Emmanuel, which was born of the Virgin Mary, was none other than Jesus Christ. In him was God with us. He was God with us. In a Jesus name apostolic church, of which you happen to be in tonight, Jesus Christ is the Emmanuel. And if you want to know who the Emmanuel is, he is God with us. Now, you can say, oh, he's an ambassador, if you want to. You can say he's one of a triune Godhead, if you want to.
But Moses said in Moses, Genesis 6:4 said, "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thy heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, and there is none else." So, and Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And so, Emmanuel, what's being interpreted, is God with us. Now, He's not God with everybody, but He's God with us because we accept Him as God. Put Him anywhere you want to, make Him anything you want to be, but the Scripture that said in one place, said, "Let God be true, and every man a liar." So just make Him what you want to be, but if you make Him anything, then God with us, you'll be the liar, and the Word will be true. You know, one time that John the Baptist was in prison, and he heard of Jesus, and he sent word to him, "Are you the one, or do we look for another?" He did not say, "You go tell him I am." He said, "You go tell John what you do see and hear. The blind receive their sight. The deaf ear is unstopped, and the lame man leap is a heart." When is this to take place? Just exactly what it said. "Say to them," Isaiah said it, "say to them of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come." You know who came to Jesus' name, apostolic people? God came. How did it happen? When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Once it came from a woman, it either had to be a son or daughter. I'm reasoning with you. If something was born of a woman, whether it be from a virgin or not, and it was a male child, what would you say it was? You would have to say it is a son. If it would have been a female, you would have had to say it was a girl or a daughter. So God, in becoming what we are, the Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us, sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Nobody doubts it. Isaiah 44:24, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, He that formed thee from the womb, I'm the Lord that maketh all things, stretcheth forth the heavens alone, spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." That scripture said He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. Since Isaiah said that He did it alone and by Himself, since John said He was in the world was made by Him, you cannot, the Scriptures cannot lie. Jesus Christ has to be God. He has to be God according to the Word. There would be no way that you could not, that you could make Jesus Christ anybody but God. Because in the beginning God did it. Isaiah said alone and by Himself. And St. John said He was in the world and the world was made by Him. That means the one that was alone was in the world and the world was made by Him. Somebody said, "Well, Brother Jerry, how was He conceived, a person in a person?" No. That person, the man, Christ Jesus, was made of a woman. Made of the law, under the law. But the Scripture said God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Colossians 2:8-9 said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of the men, rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and power." The Emmanuel, which was born to us, being God interpreted with us, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ has to be God. He has to be God according to the Word. But the Bible said God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And under the law,
if a man was in debt, he could only be redeemed by his kinfolks. Only by his kinfolks. Or he was in slavery forever. And so it was, God became us. He became kin to the human race so he might redeem them that was under the law. How did he become kin to us? Because he was born of a woman. He became us. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. Jesus Christ has to be God.
You don't have any ideas of your own if they don't harmonize with that word. What did it say? You received the word of God.
Which you heard of us.
Which you heard of us.
You received it not as the word of men.
You did not receive it all that Paul talking.
But as it is in truth.
But as it is in truth.
The word of God.
The word of God. If you don't get this, you all never got life. What are you going to preach? You're going to preach the word. And you're going to preach it as the men. Words of men are the words of God. We're going to preach it as the word of God. Preach the word. What did it say?
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man.
The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man.
But holy men of God spake.
Holy men, Brother Urshan, they spake. Spake. Read on.
As they were moved.
As they were moved.
By the Holy Ghost.
By the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes through the mouth. Right? 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 God said it. When you preach the word and rightly divide it, you preach God. You preach the Spirit. You do not preach your own ideas. Now, I can't dance, but I can walk a little. Right?
Yeah.
He said, read on.
Come before his presence for singing.
God said, God said, come before my presence with singing. Let you David's mouth to tell us. Tonight I'm the preacher. The Spirit of the Lord was in my mouth. Ain't that good? Man, that's good.
Amen.
Wow.
Everybody give me your mind.
Peter, where did you get Acts 2:38? I've got it from Matthew 16:18. Up on this rock I'll build my church. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind. We got the right Jesus and we got the right Apostle Peter. Nobody has what us Jesus' name boys have got.
But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He that believeth that is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned.
If you don't read it right, my friend, you're going to miss it. In this word of God, if you're a preacher or ever hope to be, you've got to learn to read it right. How readest thou? How you read it? Let me explain something here before I go any further. 90% of the preachers in this place is going to agree with me, either by themselves or with some other preacher. 10% will never be able to comprehend. And if you're not going to be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost and overcome the world, you're going to wish you'd have never been born. There's not a preacher in the world, in this world that we live in this dispensation of time, that don't preach Acts 2:38, live Acts 2:38, is going to wish he had been an abortion. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge if one died for all, then all were dead. And those that live not for themselves, but for him who died for them." Every living soul in the world, if you don't overcome this world, don't give up. "Oh, if I fall, oh my enemies, rejoice not, for I shall arise. I made up my mind. Honey, if you ever see me or ever hear me do anything wrong or in language, you say, honey, we don't do it that way. For me and my house, my friend, we want to live for God. I want to die the death of the righteous. I want my end to be like his end. But the odd thing about it, I want you to be there too. This word of God is for correction, my friend. But you're to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now don't get the idea that this word that you preach is not God talking. You are an ambassador. Hear me? And you got the message in your briefcase in a Bible. And you can't take away from that, and you can't add to it, or you'll be an Andrew Young.
But if you remember, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, Peter agreed with Paul. Paul with Philip. Philip with Paul and Peter. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Well, I've filled up your cup tonight. If you can receive these fundamental scriptures. I have had young men go preach that never got this. Listen to me. They never got it. Therefore, they are not preaching the old apostolic fundamental gospel is because they never got the message. This is the message of the birth of water and spirit. The Apostle Paul said, I've given it all to you. I am shunned to declaring you the whole counsel of God. He said, if any man claim to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you, commandments of the Lord. What I preach to you, I never received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. And if we are an angel, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preach, let him be accursed. Well, you don't have any business fooling around in Trinity churches, charismatic churches, or any kind of church, unless they're going to let you do the preaching, because you have the message. No man will be put to death but in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Well, a Trinity preacher baptized in the time of the Father and Son, the Holy Ghost, Peter, Paul, and Philip will put him to death. Because he preaches another gospel than they preached. 2 Corinthians 13:1 said, this is the third time I'm coming unto you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. In Acts 2:37, catch this. Remember, all of them names started with the letter P. Peter, Paul, Philip. Peter in Acts 2:38, Philip in Acts 8:16, and Paul in 19:5.
How readest thou? What is written in the law, and how do you read it? How readest thou? Practically every verse in the Word of the Lord has a meaning to it. But this gospel that we preach, I do not have any other way than I can read it but by exactly what it says. It says it just like that. Brother McCoy, I want you to get me 2 Timothy 3:16. Brother Doug, I want you to get me Acts 20:27. And I want you to get me 1 Timothy 2:7, Brother Conran. And I want you to get me, Brother George, 2 Timothy 1:11. And I want you to get me Acts 9:10, Brother Frost. Yeah. All right.
You know what? That hunter knows that you haven't got a dog chance. He knows when the condemnation, conviction is after you. Damnation is after you. Judgment is after you. Guilt is after you. Run if you want to. Get up and take your pills. Walk the floor. Blame it on anything you want to blame it on. But all the time, it's nothing but one of the hounds of heaven. God's trying to tree you. Oh, if you just had sense enough to know. There's been many a trail been lost in the water. Been many a trail when that animal hit the water. Oh, how sweet.
How sweet it was. Brother Terry, where did you lose guilt when he hit the water? How did you hit it in Jesus' name, baptism for remission of sins? How could sin be on my trail? How could judgment be on my trail? How could condemnation be on my trail? When you're buried with him by baptism unto death, to rise, to walk in newness of life, old things having passed away, and behold, all things become new. No, just run. In front of the TV and watch it. Watch your soapbox operas. Watch them from daylight till dark. Let the dishes go. Let the... You boys spread out there. You're playing feet. That's what girls and boys do. Whoever heard of three boys down here playing feet? Hey, pal, move on down there about 6 feet. Jason, have you ever been whipped with a wet rope? Don't even know what it is. Be slapped upside the head with a log chain, that kid don't. Hallelujah. Give me a mind. We're back on the trail now. Hey, sinner friend, I want you to listen to me. I've sat in the seat you've sat in. I know what it is to lay awake at night. I know what it is to waste a day and come in at night and say tomorrow night, I'm going to stay in. I'm going to bed early. I'm going to read a book. But when the evening sun starts going down and the call of the wild hits you and you're back on the same trail and then you come in and then you hear the call of the hounds, what they're trying to do is to bay you in. They're trying to bring you in. They're trying to tree you. God working with you. Damnation, judgment is on your trail. You haven't given God any honor, and you haven't given him any glory, and you haven't given him any praise, and you won't go to his altar, and you won't lift your hands, and you're sort of ashamed of him. But don't you worry. Your misery is a whole lot worse than your joy would be on the other side. Why? Because you're haunted. Haunted. You'd think, boy, you'll never rest for weariness is after you. He's on your trail and he'll never give up. I'm tired. I've been running for hours. Every breath of air I bring into the lungs, it's going down a hot throat, red hot, raw. But I've got to keep moving. Why? The devil, knowing he has but a short time to work, has come down with great wrath. He's coming down. Listen to me, sinner friend. If you've never come to Jesus Christ, you'll be haunted the rest of your life, and after that, to judgment. Oh, my God. The call of the hounds. Transgressions on your trail. Oh, don't you wish you could stop and breathe? You can't. You can't stop. You've got to keep moving. Your nerve won't let you stop. The call of the hound won't let you stop. And you'll run all night to let man blow that horn if you haven't been caught. All the time looking for a haven of rest. Oh, where they go? Well, I want to tell you, sinner, there's a place that you don't have to be haunted. You don't have to be weary. You don't have to have guilt on you. You don't have to have transgression on you. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. Don't fall out with these hounds. They're the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. I got to wanting rest. I got to wanting peace. The Bible said he'd give you a peace that passeth all understanding. And my soul began to cry for peace. I began to want rest. You know what? I went to an apostolic church. And they told me where to get it. Repent of your sins. Be buried in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of them. And receive the Holy Ghost.
And what will happen? Agree? I don't hear them hounds anymore. I went to church, heard preaching, believed it, obeyed it, baptized in His name, said with stammering lips and another tongue, will His people, speaking of this people, saying this is a rest, whereby the weary is called a rest, this is a refreshing. Oh, I remember when I entered into the rest. Oh, I remember when I entered into the rest. I began to try to tell my wife, honey, I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. Entered into the rest whereby the weary is called to rest. I entered into the refreshing. I lost all the scent they had for me. I was a new creature, born again of water and the Spirit. Why do you tarry? There is a rock in the weary land. Shadows fall on the burning sand, inviting pilgrims as they pass to come seek a home in the wilderness. Oh, why will you die? Why will you die when the sheltering rock is so nearby? Lots of people want the Spirit, but when the Word comes, they don't care for it. Paul said, I have begotten you by the gospel. Another place it said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And so all through the Word of God is that gospel. And tonight this is absolutely essential. I hate to start talking about it so strong in the beginning, lest you might walk out if you don't believe it. But if you do not believe this message, you're lost. Or if you do not come to the knowledge of this message, you're lost. It is obedience and to the knowledge of this message that is one of the reasons that you can be saved. Now, there are many things in the Word of God that's got to be obeyed to be saved. But this one will be as complete a scripture as any other scripture in the Bible supporting the Word itself. Let us bow our heads. God, we want to thank you for the truth that ever came our way. Help us tonight, oh God, to deliver this message to hungry souls. To somebody that's laying out, oh God, the strategy of which they hope to live and someday be able to appear before you, spotless, blameless, and unreprovable in your sight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Thessalonians. First chapter. Starting with the 7th verse. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Listen to the next reading of this. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. This makes two statements very, very strong. Number one, I want to put, but not one of the statements, in flaming fire. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on some, on them that know not God. You're going to have to know God when He comes. You're going to have to recognize Him when He shows up. Your spirit is going to bear witness with His spirit with your spirit, and His spirit and your spirit are in harmony, are going to meet in the air. Am I too loud? All right. It's flaming fire and taking vengeance on them that know not God. I understand, and I understand it well, that we're living in a day of sermonizing. Everything has got to be preached beautifully to you. It's got to be laid out, and it seems like it's got to be handed to the man behind you. But this, my friend, is yours. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That's number one. And number two, has not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will absolutely be lost if every preacher in the world don't harmonize with this preacher on this verse or this category of verses. You and everybody with the preacher will be lost. You got to know God and you've got to obey the gospel or He's going to catch you with flaming fire. And what will it do? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When? Well, when's all this going to take place? When He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired of all them that believe because of our testimony among you was believed in that day. That is, in the day it was preached. They believed it. They obeyed it. And He's coming. And He's coming to be admired in all them that have obeyed. But if you don't obey this, you can get mad if you want to. You're going to have to know God. You're going to have to know God. And you're going to have to obey the gospel. If you're not interested in finding out who God is, and you're not interested in obeying the gospel, that is, digging into it to find out what the gospel is. May God have mercy upon you in that day when He comes with that flaming fire. And who shall be able to stand? All right, I'm going to acquaint you with something tonight. If you'll take book, chapter, and verse, I'm going to acquaint you with God. With God. I'm going to acquaint you with Him. In one scripture in the Word of the Lord, it says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." Brother Bray, would you just open the first verse of the Bible? That would be the entrance of it, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
That would be the door of it, wouldn't it?
Right.
That would be the beginning of it, wouldn't it?
Gravy.
All right, in this. It bringeth light, the very entrance of it. What did it say?
In the beginning.
In the beginning.
God created heaven and earth.
God created heaven and earth. He's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Know not God. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. You're going to have to get acquainted with the one that created heaven and earth.
Yeah.
That's just all there is to it. Now, we can guide you through it. And we can take you through it. But he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned.
Amen.
I wish I could preach hell as hot as hell is. Flaming fire, everlasting destruction. I wish I could believe it like it is. I had a preacher one time was preaching here, and everything he said almost was if. If this and if that. They got through preaching. I walked up to him. I said, "There's something wrong with your message." He said, "What is it?" I said, "Everything you said was if. You ought to have said since it's a fact. And really leave that doubt out of it. May God have mercy on you." That first verse gave light to you if you want to know. But you do not know God as yet. All you know is God. You don't know His name. And to get acquainted with God, you've got to know God. Brother David, would you give me Isaiah 44:24? Now the next thing I want to call your attention to is God in doing what He did. In the beginning, that first verse in the Bible. It said, in the beginning. Well, in the beginning of the word of the Lord, it told you who did it. Now, the next thing is, how many and who? We've got God doing it, and what did it say?
Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer.
Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer.
And he that formed thee from the womb.
And he that formed thee from the womb.
I am the Lord that maketh all things.
I am the Lord that maketh all things.
That stretched forth the heavens alone.
That stretched forth the heavens alone. Spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. You two boys get further apart there before I get down there. Jason, you better sit up there and take notes. Can't you tell I'm about ass mad? Thus saith the Lord and thy Redeemer. He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things. Stretcheth forth the heavens alone and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Who had him? He did it alone. And he did it by himself. And you've got to come to that knowledge and believe it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So you've got to come to it. It doesn't make any difference if you shake your head at it like a heifer with her first calf when somebody walks in the lock. It's so anyway. And you've got to come to it. Not only do you have to come to it, but you have to love that word, for the word was God. So when the word said it, you've got to love what it declares. All right, this is it. He's coming in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. The next verse is so plain. Though a wayfaring man, a fool, don't have to err in it. It's found in John 1, 9, and 10. Brother McCoy, get me St. John 1, 9, and 10. You get me St. John 1, 1. You get me, brother David, 1 Timothy 3:16. Listen to what it said. St. John 1, 9, 10, 11, 12. Read it.
That was the true light every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world.
He was in the world. Listen to this.
And the world
was... Wait a minute. He was in the world. It's talking about somebody that was here.
Right.
He was in the world. And what happened?
And the world was made
by him.
Yeah.
Brother, didn't you say a minute ago he stretched forth the heavens alone and spread the world of the earth by himself?
Yeah.
And he that was in the world, and the world was made by him.
Amen.
And the world knew him not.
Isn't it written?
Amen. What else did it say?
He came unto his own. And his own received him not. But as many as received him. To them gave he power.
Yes. To become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. That's how simple that is. Introduce me to God. Tell me the gospel. And let me be begotten by the gospel.
Amen.
I'm not against singing. Singing is one of the most beautiful things in the word of the Lord. The Bible said his singers will be there.
Yeah.
But there is nothing in all the world that can take the place of preaching.
Right.
You can sing a song and it may have all the message in it, but it takes a preaching of the word. For God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. What are you to preach? The Bible said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itch and ears. From such turn away. You ought to love this.
Yes. Amen.
It ought to be a thrill to you. If you miss heaven, it'll be two things. Knowing who God is and obeying the gospel. Knowing who God is and obeying the gospel. Those are two things that you could not help if you obey the gospel. And know who God is. If you remain in the faith, you couldn't help but be saved if you endure to the end.
Right.
All right. Listen to it. He was in the world. Now this, he just got through talking about Jesus Christ. And did you know what it said? And the world was made by him. Genesis 1 and 1 a while ago said, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. Well, if God did it, and Isaiah 44:24 said he did it alone by himself. Well, if he did it alone by himself, then whoever this was that was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, he came into his own. If Jesus Christ didn't come to the Jew, and if the Jew didn't turn him down, who turned him down? He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, that's us. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. That's us. He said, well, I do not. I don't like it like that preacher. Well, I wished I could give it to you some other way. This is my ability. And I cannot change it. This is the way this message is on me tonight. And this is the way you have to take the message. You're going to have to love it. You're going to have to receive it. You're going to have to lay down all your traditions and ideas and theories and step out. But the other night, as plain as day, that is, oh, fool of wayfaring man, I gave you Jesus' name baptism. Tonight, I've already given you Moses, that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I gave you the major prophet, Isaiah. Stretched forth the heavens alone, spread as abroad the earth by himself. I gave the Apostle John, the beloved, that at the supper table he laid his head on Jesus' bosom. He wrote First, Second, St. John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. I've given him to you. He said that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, what name did we believe on? The name of Jesus Christ. Then in the, you've got to know who God is. He's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. What's God's name? He was in the world, and the world was made by him. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. On his name. On his name. If he built the world by himself, and since he did it by himself. First, the greatest mystery of God is God was manifested in the flesh. God was justified in the spirit. God was seen of angels. God was preached unto the Gentiles. And God was received up in the glory. Now that doesn't carry that through. In the King James, it just leaves for you to take it. Since he was, and this is the subject. But in the 20th century, every time it said what happened, it said was. So without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. God was justified in the spirit. God was seen in the angels. God was preached to the Gentiles. God was...